When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wilder. Oh my goodness. Talk about Wilder and talk about doing two things. We're doing two films today. We're doing Naiad. I can't even say it without laughing. Okay. Maybe
why?
I should. We'll get to that. We're going to talk about Naiad first. And the second one is
The Holdovers.
Yeah, The Holdovers. Okay. So let's start with Naiad. Okay. The first word that comes to my mind is wrinkles.
Beautiful wrinkles.
Oh, here we go. Okay. It's the story of Miss Diane Naiad, who did swim from Cuba to Florida in the inner 60s. And she survived the shark attacks and the jellyfish. And I don't know, maybe Castro was out there looking for her. I don't know, whatever.
Well, I can't remember when Castro died, but this is right around that time.
Yeah. And, you know, and she tried four times, and her sidekick, her
I think
friend,
it was more than that. Well, I think it was her fifth.
Well, it was her fifth time, but there was 25 or 30 years between the first one and the next four.
So she tried the first time in her 20s.
Yeah. Okay. And really, the whole thing about this, and maybe it's the reason it got to be where it got to be, is because it's Annette Bening and it's Jodie Foster. And Jodie Foster, as anybody who has listened to Screen Thoughts over the years knows, you know, Silence of the Lambs, Clarice, whatever she's in, I'm going to watch her 100%, you know, so... Yeah. So I think this film got the prominence that it's been receiving. It's actually, they're talking about it in the Academy Award circus, but I think it got it because of the two stars. Would you agree with that much at least?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's how this movie gets made, is because Annette Bening and Jodie Foster signed on. Because it's not a big movie. It's not an easy movie, right? And it's not, I mean, you've got two women over the age of 60 starring in this movie. That's not, you know, usually what you're hearing about for like the big buzzy titles, but they're both incredible, I think. And Reese Ifans is fantastic as well.
Yes. But it, you know, it's directed by Jimmy Chin. And he produced and directed.
And Chiva Vassarelli.
Right. But Jimmy Chin did Free Solo.
They both did. They are a directing duo.
Did they work on it together? I didn't realize.
Yeah, they are a directing duo.
Okay. When I hold Free Solo up to this film, I just feel like Free Solo was so much better. Never was looked at for the Academy.
Yeah, it was.
But not the way this is trying to be pushed forward.
Well, Free Solo was a documentary, though.
I know, but it's still a story of... you know, can do when really someone could die doing, you know, that's basically what the story is. Okay. But here's the thing about it. I felt like both Annette Bening and Jodie Foster, it was like, you're trying too hard, ladies. You're going too far. You're overacting this. I don't know if it was the way it was written. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I felt like, okay, it hurts me to watch this. You're so overacting it. Did you feel that way?
No.
So you did you like it?
I did. You know, I understand what you're saying about Annette Bening, but I think that's the character.
I knew that. And by the way, when you watched, I went back and watched the characters. I went back and watched video of Naiad actually being interviewed. And she was very much like that. But you know what? It doesn't mean you have to do that and exaggerate it even more. You know, she could have found her own way to be Naiad, which was not mimicking her exactly, because she doesn't work with her. That's not her personality. She didn't pull it off. She can't do it.
Annette Bening or Diana Naiad?
Annette Bening.
You know, it's funny because like, I think Jodie Foster balances and carries the movie.
I do. Well, right? Of the two, there's no question in my mind.
Well, no, but I think she has to, right? Because if you're just with Diana, it's relentless. It's frustrating. It's annoying. After a while, you're just like, okay, lady, like, you're roping everybody into this. Nobody's getting paid. Like, give it up already. But there's also something unbelievably hopeful about it. And that's the beauty, I think, of sports movies, right? Is that idea of, you know, never give up. And
well, for sure. That woman, you got, no, I give Nyad 100 strokes of, you know, someone who didn't give up. And there's no way I would have been able to do what she's done. You know, no way. Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't make sports movies anymore. They don't happen so much anymore. But I think you'll see it on TV, but you won't see nearly as many sports movies as you used to.
In the last year, there was the Michael Jordan movie, Nike, you know, the Nike.
I wouldn't call Air a sports movie, though. There's very little sports in that movie at all. It's about a shoe. It's not about sports.
Well, it's about the guy behind the shoe, if you ask me.
But you don't even see him. He's not in the movie.
Exactly, which makes it even more good. But I think it was about who he was, how he never gave up, and how he believed himself. I mean, the shoe is nothing without Michael Jordan.
I think that's about Sonny Vaccaro. But again, it's not about sports. It's about the person. It is that overwhelming, hopeful accomplishment feeling that's hard to get outside a sports movie, right? Like, if you think about Field of Dreams, if you think about Rocky, if you think about Remember the Titans, right? These are all movies that are underdogs coming in and refusing to yield. And that's Diana Nyad, right? And what I do like about it is that she's not particularly likable, right? And
particularly, she's not likable at all.
I mean, I didn't find her terribly dislikable. There were pieces of me that wished I was that determined and I was
I think her treatment of other humans was inexcusable.
But I think she learns that. And I think that's part of her journey.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether I never saw her really learning it. I saw her having to cope with the repercussions of it rather than her deciding she wanted to be connected to those people. I didn't see that, but here's the other thing about it that I think we should sort of touch upon. And that is women actors who are not getting facial work done as they're aging. Mm-hmm. And so they're showing up to do parts with a naturally aging process. And everyone I asked if they saw it, they said they could stand to look at their faces covered with wrinkles on the screen. I didn't
they
feel
they couldn't. That. They nope. could not.
No.
Shame on them.
Well, that may be your opinion, which I totally get. But, you know, you're also not 70 years old looking at your own wrinkles as you're watching these two women. And the people I talked to were older. I don't feel that way. I thought, you know, I am grateful for women who are not doing that work.
Yeah, but I applaud them. And if anybody's
totally, but I'm telling you, some of my friends had a really hard time watching it, you know.
But I think if anybody's going to make that decision, it's Annette Bening and Jodie Foster.
I loved it about that. I mean, that, you know, I love that about it. And I think that, you know, that was really good.
Oh my God. Can we talk about the moment where Jodie takes off her shirt and jumps in? And I was like, look at that six pack.
Well, get this.
Holy crap.
Both of them did two things. First of all, Jodie Foster went away for 8 months before the film was made. And when she showed up to make the film, he was shocked. You know, Jimmy Chin said she walked in because the woman she was playing was this buff, overly athletic, woman who was a trainer who was in the kind of shape that nobody's in. Nobody. Yeah. And so Jodie Foster had taken that 8 months to get in that shape. And Jimmy Chin said she came on set and he was like, I don't even recognize you. So then we've got Annette Bening who decided she didn't want anyone else doing the swimming for her. Not one stroke. So she went and took those 8 months and she learned how to swim. And everybody who's seen it says she's perfect. You know, they both did the work, which is interesting because it's all about doing the work. In other words, Nyad did this because she refused to stop doing the work.
Yeah. You know?
So I think that was really interesting. And we have to give it to people, women like that, who take roles like this, knowing how hard it's going to be for them to do, you know, to put it together.
Yeah. I mean, I think Annette Bening, you know, you talk a lot about, when we're talking about awards circuit, about, you know, how, what do you call it? The degree of difficulty when it,
oh,
when
my
it
God,
comes into
totally.
The role.
Yes. Yes. You're right. You're right. You're right. Like, and, yeah. Are you being nominated? Was the degree of difficulty, does it warrant you being even looked at for an award? And
yeah,
then both those, do you think they'll probably both, will they both be up
no.
for?
No, I think Annette might, maybe. She's in that like second tier of, will anybody pay attention to this movie because it dropped on Netflix, and will she get the attention I think she deserves for it? You know, I will say, there's an abuse storyline in this, that I felt was handled a bit heavy-handedly.
Well, not only that, it was confusing. I'm like, wait, who's that? What did he do? Who, what? I don't know. I didn't think it was clear at all. I thought it lacked clarity.
Oh, I didn't have a problem with the clarity. I had a problem with the way it was executed. It just, like, it was a little on the nose. Like, I think in those kinds of situations, less is more, right? And letting us know that something like this happened is important. Showing it all is not.
Yeah.
And I think that also probably could have played into what you're talking about as overacting.
Yeah.
Because it just feels heavy-handed.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, you know, and the other thing is, they have to show her in the water. They have to show the drama around the water. But it was sort of like, can she please finish the swim already? I feel like, I feel like I've been here more than the 48 hours it took her to do it. You know, I was like, done. Okay. Did you make it? I think you did. I read about it. Please, you know, cross the finish line.
The ending didn't get you?
Sure. But it took me too long. I had to wait too long for it.
This is our digital age, man. None of us have an attention span anymore.
Well, we're going to have to start, because films are getting longer in many ways. I mean, look at Oppenheimer, look at, you know,
Killers of Flower Moon.
Killers is 3.5 hours. So I went and looked that up, by the way, and Titanic was 3 hours and 15 minutes. And when I remember when Titanic first came out, everybody's like, I'm not going to go. It's almost 3.5 hours. And
it lied. Everyone went to see that movie.
I know. That's what I'm saying is, but when they got in there, it didn't feel like that long.
No.
Oppenheimer sometimes did feel like it was that long. Okay. Killers does not. I don't, you know.
Oh, I thought Killers felt a whole hour too long.
Well, he's always a little long-winded on the screen time, but yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about that today. Okay, so we're going to move on, unless there's anything else you want to say. I don't recommend people see this, you know.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. I think if you like a sports movie, this will scratch that itch a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Didn't scratch my itch, and I love a good sports movie, so there you have it. Okay, so now we're going to move over into the holdovers, which is, it just came out last week. And there are some people that are saying, they're already writing that this is the best film in a sea of pretty good films this year. People are saying, take a long, long, hard look at it. It's shot as if it was still in the 70s. It takes place in a boarding school where an unpopular teacher gets stuck with the quote holdovers, those who have nowhere to go over Christmas break. And it's sort of like Dead Poets Society and The Emperor's Club. Did you watch The Emperor's Club with Kevin Klein? Came out in 20
many years ago.
Yeah, 2002. It's that same thing where, and I'm not going to tell you that we won't give away the ending, but they all have the same ending, you know. And he shot it as if it were in the 70s, but he used the film that was not. So there's that around it. And none of it was shot in a studio. All of it was on set. Did you realize that? All of it was.
Yeah, you feel it as you're watching it.
Yeah, but that's unusual. We don't see that very often anymore. So, so the holdovers, you know, what's your overall view? Did you like it?
I mean, it's tough for me not to love an Alexander Payne movie. You know, he
is
his tone, the way he tells a story, I will admit, though, I haven't seen Downsizing. So I hear that is the exception to the rule. So forgive me for that. But
he did The Descendants. He did Election. He did Nebraska. He did Downsizing, which I thought was excellent, by the way. I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
he's, and Sideways. Remember Sideways?
Yeah, this is the reteaming of Paul Giamatti and Alexander Payne that we've all been waiting for. And if you haven't, I have.
Now, Giamatti plays the teacher, but I want to talk about Giamatti. Okay, Giamatti. So he's such a great actor and he can do pretty much anything. And then I thought, why is he never the star in a big, big, big? And I realized that he's just unfortunate looking in a little way. Like you don't want to sleep with him. You don't want him to kiss you. So I think he hasn't gotten the roles that his acting deserves. And, you know, you want to kiss him?
No, that's not what I'm disagreeing about. What I'm disagreeing about is that I think he's too good an actor to play a leading man. Leading men are not interesting.
Really?
It's why Brad Pitt is too good an actor to be a leading man. The best roles Brad Pitt plays are in 12 Monkeys, are in Hollywood, right? When he's the understudy, right? He's the stuntman.
Yeah.
Right? And Paul Giamatti is an amazing actor and he's so interesting and he's funny and he doesn't mind being disliked, which is the entirety of Paul Hunnam, the character he plays in this, right? I would like to know how they got his eyes to be wall-eyed because he is not a wall-eyed person. But in the movie, his character is wall-eyed. And I was like fascinated while I was looking at the screen.
Can I just say the dialogue they gave him is... this thing was so well written. And if you decide you're going to go watch it or watch it on streaming pretty soon, I would imagine, you've got to make a point to listen to the dialogue and the way it's delivered by all the characters, some of which are pretty unknown. Some of those kids, the younger kids are, who are they?
I think most of the kids are pretty unknown.
Yeah, but that was true in The Emperor's Club. That was true in the Dead Poets Society. And a lot
that's what happens when you make movies about kids.
Yeah, but I just think he is such a good actor. And
he's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
But I loved how unsuspecting this movie was.
Really?
Right?
Tell me what that means.
It wasn't heavy-handed at any moment, right? There's one moment where it gets a little harder. And I think Divine Joy Randolph, who plays Mary Lamb, who's the she's the kind of head cook, manager of the kitchen at the school.
Yeah, they call on IMDb, they call her the chef, but she's not a chef, she's a cook.
Well, she's the emotional center of the movie. And her storyline is harder than the rest because it's more obvious than the rest. But it balances so well with Angus Tully, who is our primary kid who we're dealing with, and Paul Hunnam. The three character arcs are so well intertwined and are so important to each other. But it's handled like almost a Hal Ashby film, right? Where it's a lot of the scenes are undercut with humor, but that doesn't rob them of their meaning. And that is not easy to do.
Well, Dylan, some of the lines he has with the boys, even in class and stuff, it's like, it'll stop your breath, you know.
A different time. We got to talk to kids in a different way.
Well, not only that, it's just quick-witted, you know, but believable. So it's not so quick-witted that you think it was written. It's much more quick-witted. Of course you would say that if you had a quick wit, you know, it's like, it's just really, really good. Yeah. But now keep in mind her storyline, this is taking place also when boys are being sent to Vietnam and her daughter, her son was killed in Vietnam. And of course it's Christmas and that's always, you know, a tough time in situation like that. So that's the undercurrent of the sadness that the boys try to hide for being left behind. Mm-hmm. And she we should we get to feel it through her, so we then can associate how tough it is to be left behind by your parents on Christmas. You know, no question around it. It's not an easy situation. So I don't know.
The soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah,
the way it's shot is fantastic.
It is.
There's
and the
no
it's written. And the way it's written.
I went to see it yesterday. 4 o'clock screening. Pretty full theater.
Really?
I was the youngest by about 20 years, but pretty full theater.
You're in LA. Where'd you go? Which one?
We were in Encino. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, not the young hip crowd, which is fine. But I will say I haven't laughed this much and this hard in a theater in a while. It was embellished by all of the comments around me of being like, that was her son, right? And like, all of the couples around me who were like trying to keep track of what's happening in this not very fast paced movie to begin with. But it was like the perfect poignancy of who this movie was made for, why it was made, and how beautiful it is. The ending is not unexpected, but is beautiful. And I thought wraps it up very well.
I also thought of Good Will Hunting.
There's an element to that.
I mean, there's a lot. There's sort of that whole line. And then I thought, one of the reasons I think I enjoyed it so much is this is a really difficult time we're living in now. And we're not going to get into the politics of any of it. But somehow going to see that, it just pats you on the head saying, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's...
You'll feel better. It's okay.
That's an Alexander Payne movie.
Well,
go watch Nebraska. Go watch Sideways.
One of the reasons I think there's such a strong response to it is because that's exactly what we need. We just need that, you know what? I just can't watch another edgy thing that I have to really decipher at the end of the movie. Just pat me on the head so I can walk out and breathe a deep sigh of relief, you know, that kind of thing. So
we greatly enjoyed it. And we walked out feeling nice and happy.
Okay. Now, do you think Giamatti's going to get a nod?
Again, he's in that second tier of like,
see, I think if they nominate him, he will definitely not win. But if they nominate him, it will be out of respect for the body of his work rather than this particular work, if you ask me.
Probably. But I also think this one is fantastic, especially because his is the most necessary arc and the most difficult because of who he is and where he is in life. And it's, I think, why the ending resonates so well. And it's beautiful because he is this stodgy old curmudgeon who has never left this school.
Which, by the way, does happen, you know. Yeah. So
thank God for academia, right? That there's a place for him.
Yeah. Well, I highly recommend it. So go to the movies, you guys. There's a lot out there. I mean, you're all in, right?
Oh, please. Yeah, this is you'll enjoy it. There's just, you have to pay attention. You have to make sure you can understand the lines. But it's not a Chris Nolan film where that will be hard for you to do. Exactly. It's just, you got to pay attention because you'll miss it if you don't.
And we're not going to be dropping something next week because it's Thanksgiving next week. So do you have a Thanksgiving movie you watch? Anything you...
I have a couple.
Anything to
Enchanted
recommend?
Is always one we watch around Thanksgiving.
So funny.
That's
okay.
When it came out. And I love that movie. Usually around Thanksgiving, we end up watching Home Alone.
Oh, that's so funny. I never bought it. I never bought that story. So yeah.
Oh, I grew up with it. So yeah. you can't be my age and not have loved that movie.
Well, my daughter and I watched The Holiday. You know, Nancy Meyers film.
Yeah, we've gotten over this. Not my fave.
No, I know, but we like it, especially around the holidays. So if we're together on Thanksgiving, which we are this year, then we'll probably turn that on as well. So
I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Have a nice Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye.